Hello, this is going to be about divorce and remarriage. Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, the last time I checked, had been divorced and remarried 12 times, but looking earlier than that, years earlier than that, I had read on the Associated Press or United Press that Richard Taylor and Elizabeth Burton were getting their second and third divorces. That was way back. So we go up to the 12th divorce and remarriage with that couple. Who knows who they were marrying and remarrying? They weren't marrying each other over and over. They were marrying different people. But then following on the heels of that came the church. And so that today, in the year 2011, and, you know, going back 30 years, that nominal Protestant pastors, that 99% of them preach that it's all right because of fornication. I think it's Matthew 19, and we're going to be getting into, yes, it is, Matthew 19:5. We'll be getting into that a little bit later. Here's an article from Giving and Sharing, written by Paul Woods. Excellent article, but he said it needs to be understood at the onset that we are not down on divorced people. Yahweh, or he uses G-O-D, Yahweh is in the business of restoring all fallen men, and that includes all of us. Yahweh forgives the sin of divorce and remarriage just the same as he forgives any other sin. Oh, does that give us a carte blanche to go out and have another wife, a fourth, fifth? Come on, we got to catch up with, we do have to catch up with Richard Burton and his former wife, Elizabeth Taylor, back there in the 1950s. We must catch up with, because we are the church, after all. We've got to follow the modern trends. Got to keep up with them. But remember that Yahweh expects the sin to be discontinued. He never compromises the issue of sin. When a drunkard gets right with Yahweh, Yahweh expects him to keep drinking. No, quit drinking. Perhaps we would not so much divorce within the body of Messiah today if so many pastors, teachers, and Christian writers did not take such a mild approach concerning the subject. Because of the numerous scriptures that deal with the subject, we have listed the questions most often asked and the scriptures that apply. The first one, can I know for certain that Yahweh has joined my marriage together? I'm going to skip that one for now. And you can get this on the website, Giving and Sharing, or GiveShare rather, giveshare.org. And then articles about the families will be there on the front page. You can see that, families and relationships. And then one of the books that's for free here on the internet is this fine article, and it's questions about divorce and remarriage. And because of the numerous scriptures that deal with the subject, he's had questions here. Can I know that Yahweh has joined my marriage together? Two, what if I married the wrong person? Okay, skip that. Throw that one out here. I mean, we know that. No. I'm sorry. And thirdly, is death the only means by which a marriage can be dissolved? According to Romans 7. Mm-hmm. Okay. And fourthly, what if my spouse is physically abusing me? Do I have to remain in the marriage? Certainly, this justifies divorce and, I might add, remarriage. Well, Messiah, in his writings, gives no biblical grounds for divorce. No, I'm sorry, but we'll see here. And you can read it, weep. You can read Ezra chapter 10. Well, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 gives instructions to one who might wish to depart from a marriage. Paul emphasizes that the command is from Yahweh. And the versions will put L-O-R-D. It makes it plain that no departure should take place. But if it does, that person should remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, or, of course, to his wife. Remember that Messiah surely encountered all of the problems we face today, such as physical abuse, marital infidelity, and any number of numerous problems, yet he never addressed or made allowances for any of these problems. As painful as it may be, Yahweh's intent is for these problems to be worked out. Well, I try, but he still beats me up. or she beats me over the head with a rolling pin. I look forward to it every morning. That's not funny. If physical abuse is taking place, the provision would be a separation from the spouse inflicting the abuse, whether it be the woman or the man, with no thought of divorce and remarriage in mind. For a believing husband or wife, divorce is excluded by the law of Messiah. Here he uses the word Christ. Here Paul has no need to express judgment of his own, for Yahweh's ruling on this matter was explicit. And the reference here is F.F. Bruce. Paul taught what Messiah taught on divorce and remarriage. So Paul taught what the Messiah, whom we call Yahawahosha, and who the world calls Jesus, what he taught on divorce and remarriage. So that's the answer. No, there is an exception. There is no exception for because of bartering or battering, really. Fifth, didn't Messiah forgive the woman caught in adultery, and didn't he recognize the husbands of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 8 and also chapter 4, 7 to 18? Yes, indeed, Messiah extended forgiveness to the woman caught in adultery. However, he did tell her to go and sin no more, implying that if she continued in her same lifestyle, she would still be living in adultery. Remember that quotation? Go and sin some more. You don't remember it? No, I don't either. In speaking to the Samaritan woman, Messiah addressed the sin she was involved in at that time, living with a man she was not married to. Remember, 9 out of 10 preachers, or 99 out of 100 these days, whether they be Protestant or even Catholic, preach that it's all right. You can have your marriage annulled or, you know, whatever, for any cause, especially for adultery, you know. We're not seeing that in Scripture. It needs to be pointed, and the pivotal Scripture there is in the Matthew, which we haven't really gotten to yet. You can see that elsewhere on my website, yahweh.name, but let's see, where is that one in question there? Matthew 19, 3 through 9. It was, let me just go to that. Except for fornication. Anyway, that's, and then we'll get back to these questions here. But, you know, a lot of people are thinking, well, but what about this? What about the Matthew 19? I mean, what about it? It just says right there, I know it says that I can get a divorce if she committed adultery on me. Well, Joseph didn't think that about his wife, Miriam, or Mary, commonly called Mary. He thought privately to, as the scripture said here, to put her away privately. But he wasn't going to go out and remarry. So anyway, yeah, just get right in the way, Stephania. Just irritate everybody. Matthew 19, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give you a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He commanded them to go out and do it, you know. But Messiah said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. There it is, the key word there. Look up that word, fornication. It's porneia. And it refers back to a scripture here we'll show in a moment from Deuteronomy 22. Except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away does commit adultery. Also see Romans 7, verse 3. So, whosoever put away his wife, except it be for porneia, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. What is porneia? It's fornication. It's not adultery. There's a difference. There is a difference in there. And we go back to Deuteronomy 22, and just briefly on this, not going real in-depth, and then we'll back to the questions there from GiveShare. It says 22:13 in Deuteronomy, if any man take a wife and go into her and hate her and give, oh boy, this sounds real male-oriented, doesn't it? And give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity. Where's the token of your virginity? Is it Messiah? It's her virginity unto the elders of the city and the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he has given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found thy daughter not a maid. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. That was the bloody cloth. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver. I can't remember if that's a year's wage. And give them unto the father of the damsel, because he has brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. You know, that might be 2 years' wages, come to think of it. And it's still the law, as much as gravity is still in effect. Yahweh gave us the law of gravity. I'm a Christian. I am not subject to the law of gravity. Whoops! Somebody catch me. 25 floors yet to go. So marriage was ordained by Yahweh for all people. And, this is an answer. Can I know for certain that Yahweh... No, that's not it. Sorry. I have the wrong paragraph there. Let's see. Physical abuse, we covered that. And we just have to separate and try to restore that person back to, you know, take him to somebody in the assembly who's good at counseling. Not somebody who's in it for the money. Didn't Messiah forgive the woman caught in adultery? In speaking to the Samaritan woman, Messiah addressed the sin she was involved in at that time. Yahweh's law always takes precedent over civil law. Messiah did not in any way condone the 5 marriages. He simply pointed out this woman's sin and her need of salvation. It cannot be argued that legal divorce dissolves a marriage. If that were true, perhaps there would have been no need for John the Baptist to have lost his head defending the principle of only one marriage. He told Herod, it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. In both Yahweh's and John's eyes, that second, third, fourth, and fifth marriage was not lawful. Now, remember, there were lax divorce laws at the time of Messiah, just as there are today. And I was also going to make the comment there. He told Herod that it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. In both Yahweh's eyes and John's, that second, third, fourth, and fifth marriage was not lawful. Well, the state can say that it is lawful. You know, the state can say that my daughter, for example, my daughter can be married to a man who's been married and divorced several times. The state can say that's a marriage. They condone the marriage, and then friends and relatives and family can come along and help condone that, help encourage them to stay in that false relationship. But Messiah never said that would be a marriage. There's no second, third, and fourth marriages. Well, what about this exception? What about that Solomon had, about 900 wives or something? I don't know. I'm not Solomon. I'm not saved by his... I'm not going to put my salvation and trust in Solomon. So here's question 6. Because my spouse divorced me and no longer serves Yahweh, she is spiritually dead. Let's see. Let's throw that one away here. I think we'll move on to number 7. Didn't the apostle Shaul say, or Paul, say we are not in bondage if an unbelieving spouse departs? Are we free to remarry then? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12, 16. The passage about a believer whose unbelieving spouse left because he or she did not want to live with a believer. The scriptures do not speak of remarriage. If they did, it would be a contradiction to the rest of the chapter. Many people use the word bondage to mean that they are legally free to marry another, but in the Greek, this word bond refers to the obligations that are ours to perform toward our marriage partner. Not under bondage simply means that person is no longer under obligation to the other person to perform the marriage obligation. In other words, the wedding bed. That is commonly called, even by ministers, 6. If the statement Paul used in verse 15, a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, means that they were free to marry someone else, why did he firmly state in verse 10 and 11 that they were to remain unmarried? Would not these two statements contradict one another? Well, what does it matter? Don't confuse me with facts. This is from giveshare.org, great article. And he goes into Romans 7 some more, Paul saying that the woman is not under bondage to obey her husband any longer, but she still must obey Yahweh's commands. 1 Corinthians 7 clearly teaches singleness, not remarriage. Paul was just, and that's tough, you know. I put myself in the place of someone who's, wants to remarry or has done that already and maybe has a bunch of children, and it's been 25 years ago. You know, what would I do? Well, I guess I would obey Yahweh, you know, that's what I would say I would do. Hopefully I would. Paul was just as much against divorce, as was Messiah, as was John the Baptist, and every true believer should be. Because divorce is man's way, not Yahweh's way. Number 8, what about the exception clause Messiah spoke of, and doesn't this free the innocent party to remarry? Oh, here's the core. The whole problem. I should have had this as number 1, I think. The word fornication is used in the exception clause of Matthew 19. Except for fornication. Accepted be for fornication is often used as, in today's society anyway, it's misused for permission for remarriage, or DNR, divorce and remarriage. Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, Krina, I can't believe it. The word fornication is used in a number of other passages throughout the scriptures. We can understand from these other passages that fornication is sexual sin. The exception clause has to do with fornication and not with adultery. Fornication means illicit relations on the part of the unmarried or some very unclean sexual practice that has been carried into the marriage. You know, before, and it's carried into the marriage, so which includes, you know, it would later, if that were with another partner, and another, that would be adultery. So that is a legitimate, but you have to read the article here or listen. While adultery means illicit relations on the part of the married, the Greek word translated fornication sometimes widens out to include all kinds of immorality. But in Matthew 5 and 19, Messiah uses both the words adultery and fornication in the same sentence. Wherever the two Greek words stand in contrast to each other in the same setting, the word fornication always refers to impurity among the unmarried. Notice Messiah did not make an exception in these passages for adultery, but for fornication. Something about somebody who is unmarried and some immorality of sexual nature. That's, why the big thing. You know, what are you arguing about? 6 inches of flesh there or something, you know? Who could argue about 1 inch of metal piercing another person's body? I mean, it's only an inch of metal. In the case of murder there, it's only an inch of metal. It's only the man in adultery fondling and doing this and the flesh and all. That's making a big deal. Messiah is just going to have to understand that he made me this way. The potter made me defectively, so I'm always chasing women's skirts. All right, go ahead and blame the Messiah for it. Blame everybody but your pagan goddesses. Notice also these verses were not in Messiah's original answer to the deceptive question of the Pharisees. Obviously, the Pharisees did not really want to do Yahweh's will, or they would have accepted the creation account of one flesh. The word fornication cannot mean the same as adultery in these passages, such as 1 Corinthians 5, the man who married his father's wife was condemned by Paul. And I'm going to skip over there. I'm going to have to run here in a second, as you may as well, possibly. Number 9 was, since Yahweh divorced Israel, shouldn't I be able to divorce my mate also? That should be of interest to you, even if you plan on staying married to your spouse for another 50 years. It's just interesting reading. It's good to always be armed in case somebody comes up with these exceptions all the time. The question again was, since Yahweh divorced Israel, shouldn't I be able to divorce my mate also? There you go. 10 was, is a divorced person qualified for the ministry? 1 Timothy 3:1-13. And so on. And that article is written by Paul Woods, who at least 20 years ago was leader of the Seventh-day Church of God at P.O. Box 804, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606. And Mr. Woods is distinguished by being one of the few church leaders who upholds the indissolvability of marriage. Yeah, thank you for listening. We don't want to be like the world or like Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Who knows, they may have repented of that by now. They're probably gone, but great-grandmother Taylor, anyway, she could have repented, or she might repent, of that immorality. So, you know, I'm not the judge of them, but anyway, read this article here if you can from giveshare.org. I have numerous references all over this website that I'm hosting here, the yahweh.name.com, or I don't want to say the other one because it sounds confusing. So this controversial subject here, which is very popular amongst Protestant pastors and even Catholic, probably even the Mormon alike. You know, it's just Jehovah's Witness, Jewish, a liberal Jewish, that is, or, you know, whatever they call themselves. It's just rampant throughout the world now. It's just snowballing. And it's crazy. So that's a little bit about that there. Deuteronomy 22 and Matthew 19 were my main texts with this article about DNR. So let's treat people gently. Now, we can't just, you know, insist that they just, you're going to move out tonight necessarily. Now, we can't just come up and make a mandate such as that, but, you know, we can certainly discourage people. We don't need to encourage them, okay? We don't need to, on the other hand, we don't need to go around encouraging people. They say, hey, I'm getting remarried for the fourth time, and we're going to the Bahamas, and it's going to be a wonderful time, and you can come to my ceremony. Yes, you're invited along with these wonderful, important dignitaries from the town here, and you'll be included amongst them. You know, if you're not there, they might not think too well of you, because they're in their third, fourth, and fifth marriages. What a mess. But Ezra 10, they cleaned up the whole problem there and got rid of the strange wives that they were not to be married with. A little bit different situation, and considering the children and all, and, you know, different circumstances, considering that, but when it comes right down to it, the bottom line is Yahweh's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is Yahweh and Yahawhosha, the Messiah. The Messiah is yesterday, you know, today, and forever. He is always the same, and in the Father there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Things didn't change back in 1950 or back at the Calvary and in 33, or, you know, they didn't change regarding Yahweh's way of dealing with mankind and our relationships to one another. First and second commandments say to love Yahweh and to love one another. That's the final word there. So, what do I know? Just read the word. That's makes you very authoritative. All you need to do is quote Yahweh's word gently, or maybe firmly, and or maybe harshly in some other cases. But it does need to be quoted. It's quite encouraged and all right to quote Yahawhosha's word and to share it with one another, and even with those like-minded who wouldn't be in their minds at all for divorce and remarried. But it's good to talk about such problems as before they come up, discourage people, and warn them against movements that are coming along, the psychology, the New Age movement, the watering down of different versions of Scripture, and on and on. There's just so much to be concerned about. or maybe you just want to major in just one thing. That's okay too. So have a wonderful forever. Maranatha to you. And thank you very much for listening. My email is stephanyah@yavayahweh.name. That's Stephanyah with a T, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, stephanyah@yavayahweh.name. Praise Yah. May He set us free, take us out of bondage. Provide through His Son, through the Messiah who died for us and rose from the grave after 3 nights and 3 days, the Yahvahusha, the Messiah, may He give us liberty and resurrection power to walk in the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, and live for Yahweh with all of our heart, with the full intensity of our heart. Be constantly trained on Yahweh and His Word, and to lift up separated hands in the pure place, in the Mikodesh, before Him, and praise Him forever and ever, because He gave us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. He gives us the opportunity to fellowship with Him face to face. See you next time.